everybody, it is Spencer Hart. This is Smack Talk here on the Elite Ringside Network on Spreaker.com, iTunes, Player.fm, PodDirectory.com, Stitcher.com, TuneIn Radio, CastBox.fm, the Satchel Player for your Android and iPhones, of course, the official podcast of the 434 Net, 434.com. As always, I am joined by AJ Jensen. How you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Okay, you know, you said this before the show. Raw and SmackDown this week, they felt like the Raw and SmackDown after Mania. It really did.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely, they knocked it out of the ballpark, both shows. And they really set forth a new set of storylines that are fresh and are good. And they really just all around entertained us.
Yeah, I haven't seen back-to-back Raw and SmackDown like this, I don't know, in a while.
It's definitely been a while.
Probably the Raw and SmackDown after Mania.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. It really is quite refreshing that we get a back-to-back Raw and SmackDown that were good. Because every week it's usually, you know, Raw was good and SmackDown was meh. Or Raw was meh, and SmackDown was good. But just, you know, and we all saw the writing on the wall what was going to happen yesterday, but it was still an amazing SmackDown. So let's get right into that. Before we get into SmackDown, though, I want to talk about a little bit of what happened on 205 Live, because we don't talk about it much. Kira Tozawa versus Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. Neville retains. It's what happened after the match. Do you know what happened after the match, AJ?
I do know what happened after the match, and I could really care less.
Really? Oh, I was actually quite happy to see this. Enzo needs something to do, and I think he pissed off everyone. But Enzo Amore is now on 205 Live. Thoughts? I know you said you really don't care, but I think it's good.
I mean, it's good for him because he's still going to be doing something, but it's really sad when an entire roster of people don't want you on their show.
That's fair.
So they have to transfer you to another show, and it's just... I hope Neville just destroys him. I don't know, like, Enzo and Cass together, I'm all about it, I'm all for it, but them separate, it's like, I can't even think of a word to describe what it's like when those two are not together, but it's just not good.
Yeah. I guess I'm a little excited to see what Enzo can do down in 205 Live. But we start out SmackDown Live with AJ Styles, the United States champion, and it would be determined that there would be a United States Open challenge, and Kevin Owens comes down to the ring, and we get AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens in the main event with a mystery referee, and by mystery, I mean Baron Corbin. Poor Baron Corbin. I don't know what he did to piss anyone off. But it really seemed like Baron is dead.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. They must have just completely lost all of their faith in him. You know, and it sucks. Like, I always liked Baron Corbin. I liked him when he was on NXT. I'm probably one of the minority of people who have said when he came to the main roster that he was doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now he's got to start from the ground up again.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty sad, actually. So, again, like I said, it was announced in the main event, AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship with special guest referee Baron Corbin. We'll get to that later in the show. After that, we had Aiden English bring us back from the break, him singing his his praises and stuff. I don't like Aiden English in the singing gimmick very much. But it was what happened.
Dude, that I don't mind.
Yeah?
I don't mind it. I think it's funny.
I don't know. I'm trying to get into it. I am. It's just, I'm not a huge fan of it. But it's what happened when the lights
went out. What happened next? What happened next?
Was glorious.
Spencer, I know you can agree with me on this. What happened next? There's only one word that can describe what happened next. I think you know what that word is, Spencer.
Was it glorious?
It was glorious!
Yes, Bobby Roode is on SmackDown Live, and I couldn't be happier.
SmackDown Live just got glorious.
Yes, it did. So Bobby Roode utterly destroys Aiden English, hits him with a glorious DDT. And that's that, and Bobby Roode is on SmackDown Live, and oh boy. Could you imagine Bobby Roode as WWE Champion?
I could.
I want you to picture that for just a moment.
I could totally picture that.
I'm definitely okay with Bobby Roode as WWE Champion.
That crowd went apeshit last night, too, when he came out.
Yes, they did. They were a lot more alive than I thought the Raw crowd. The Raw crowd was kind of...
I don't know. The Raw crowd got pretty ruckus.
Oh, yeah, but for bad reasons, in my opinion.
Well, they had a lot of good, you know, like, normal crowd reactions, like, to stuff. But, yeah, it was just the whole beach ball thing kind of took, you know, the wind out of the room. And even last night at SmackDown, the crowd was doing the wave again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed the SmackDown crowd more, in my opinion. But... So
I want to say in the women's tag match, they were chanting, "We want beach ball."
Yep, they were. And you know why? Because there was a goddamn beach ball flying around the crowd. I was not happy. So after the break, after Bobby Roode defeats Aiden English, we come back to Daniel Bryan. And then Chad Gable comes up and he's like, you know, it's great that Jason Jordan, you know, has this whole thing, but what's next for me? So Daniel Bryan introduces his friend and, I believe, what, five-time United States champion, Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin!
Old standard!
Shelton Benjamin is back on SmackDown Live. This was back-to-back. It was just like, I couldn't breathe. It was like, stop it!
Shelton Benjamin coming back has been in the works for a while. He signed a long time ago with them again. Was about to make his return, I believe, and he went through his final physical and found out he had, like, I can't remember. It's a shoulder injury, I think.
He had something wrong with his shoulder. And he
I can't remember if it was dislocated or torn rotator cuff or something, but... They obviously didn't clear him, and he was still signed, but was, you know, taking the time to recover and everything, and mm-hmm. Now they brought him back. And this doesn't surprise me whatsoever. When they first announced Shelton Benjamin coming back, I know me and Chris were talking about how cool it would be if they did some kind of angle. Get it? some kind of angle with American Alpha. And I put together this, like, just this off-the-wall, bizarre, like, fan theory. And it was, so now Kurt Angle had a one-night stand, or used to date a girl in college. And then they, like, 9 months after their last date, Jason Jordan was born. I'm like, they're going to bring back Shelton Benjamin. We're later going to further in the storyline find out that the woman that Kurt Angle had sex with was Shelton Benjamin's mother, and Jason Jordan and Shelton Benjamin are half-brothers, and they're gonna form this huge, you know, like American Alpha team, world's greatest tag team, like 2.0, and then bring Charlie Haas back.
I love it.
Sheldon Benjamin's mom is gonna be the manager.
Book it, Vince. Book it now.
But, them putting him with Shelton Benjamin, that is no shock at all. Mm-hmm. It's basically, Jason Jordan was, like, supposed to be Shelton Benjamin 2.0. So now they just got Chad Gable with the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally okay with it. Shelton Benjamin, like I said, back on SmackDown Live. So we had a couple backstage segments with Kevin Owens asking Sami Zayn to be the special guest referee, like I said, for the main event. Sami Zayn at first was like, I'll think about it. And then Kevin comes back to him. Sami's like, fuck you. All the times you stab me in the back, you can go suck it. So I thought Sami was going to be the special guest referee for just a minute. And that would have been fun. Sami screwing Kevin, because that would have been what happened. But like I said, Baron Corbin would be announced then as the special guest referee. We move into the Usos and the Hype Bros.
That was squash.
Yeah, you can call it squash. Weirdly enough, the New Day nowhere to be seen on SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
Very weird. Especially coming right after losing their tag team belts in their second defense? First? It was either the first or second defense of the belts. The Usos basically grabbed a couple mics, cut a promo on the entire tag team division, and that was it. The Usos just annihilated the Hype Bros. It was very weird, like I said, for the New Day not to show up here. So, I want to get your opinion on Dolph Ziggler.
I didn't actually see that skit. I heard it. I think it was outside, but I had the door open so I could listen.
Okay.
It sounds like he ripped on a lot of people on the SmackDown roster.
Yeah.
Basically ripping on their gimmicks, their entrances, what they do to get over with the crowd. And, I don't know.
So basically what Dolph said was, and I'm just reading this, he was kind of like a sarcastic, like, shoot-style promo. He said he was thrilled to be back, and he knows what it takes to be a star. All you need is to be able to sing, play guitar, rap, have fancy lights, a fancy robe, and a valet.
And lasers,
yeah, I can't forget the lasers. So right there we had Aiden English, we had Elias, we had the Usos, we had... I mean, that can be any numerous people.
Yeah,
Fancy Robe, Bobby Roode, or Ric Flair, and the valet. No, I'm not quite sure what that one is. But, yeah, like you said, Dolph really kind of, like, sarcastically...
Valet, I'm guessing he would probably at this point be referring to Maurice.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that. That sounds about right. So up to this point, SmackDown is just... it was a lot to ingest. And this was, like, within the first hour. The first hour of SmackDown was just, boof, right from the beginning, just nonstop go. And it was nice for a change, because sometimes, it starts out strong, or it starts out, meh, and then goes up to 100 or just dies at the end.
Yeah.
But SmackDown, so far, up to this point, was... pretty damn good. So what we're going to do is take a break, come back, we'll talk about Shinsuke Nakamura. We've got the backstage segment with Kevin Owens, Breezango, and Baron Corbin. We've got the women's tag match. And, of course, the main event for the United States Championship. We will talk about all of that. That is next here on Smack Talk.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Are you an energetic team player who loves to get into lengthy logical discussions about pro wrestling? The Elite Ringside Network is looking for talented individuals to join their staff today. We are looking for on-air talent, video editors, and blog writers. If you are interested in joining the ever-growing Elite Ringside Network, send your information today to EliteRingsideNetworkWI@gmail.com. Be a part of something great. Be a part of the revolution. Be a part of the Elite Ringside Network.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Spencer Hart from the Elite Ringside Network. Wanted to let you know about some amazing news. You can now listen to all of our great programming on the new Satchel Podcast Player for your Android and iPhones. Here's the deal. While you're listening to us on Satchel, you can send us a few dollars to make all of our amazing shows even better. So if you're listening to us right now on Satchel, go ahead and click on that donate button to send us some much-appreciated donations. And if you're not listening to us on Satchel, I mean, come on, what are you doing? Download the podcast player right now at SatchelPlayer.com. Exclusive friends of the Elite Ringside Network. Welcome back to Smack Talk here on the Elite Ringside Network. So before we get into the rest of SmackDown, you know, you and I were talking during the break. AJ, you want to give an update on Big Cass? There was some news that was released today regarding his injury.
Yeah, so yesterday when we recorded, you know, we talked about it. And we said we would pass along any information that we had today if there was any, and it's looking like the initial report is saying he suffered a torn ACL and possibly a medial meniscus tear. Now, it's not 100% on either one of those. They're just saying that's the initial report. They're going to have a radiologist who is going to evaluate it before making any final decisions. But they're saying if it is his ACL, he's looking at a possible recovery time of 9 months.
Jesus Christ.
Which, 9 months being gone in WWE is an absolute lifetime.
Yeah, especially when you're just starting out at a new heel run, a new singles comp, you know, being a new singles competitor. That's not good. He's definitely going to need some repackaging, I think, if he's going to be out that long.
And 9 months, I mean, when Seth Rollins completely blew his knee out, I don't think he was gone for 9 months, was he?
So let's see here. He blew his knee out the week before Survivor Series, and he returned at Extreme Rules, which is the one right after Mania. So he was out about six, seven months. Even then, 6-7 months is a lifetime for these.
It's still manageable, obviously, with, you know, Seth Rollins, what he was able to do coming back and the run he's had since returning.
Yeah.
So if Big Cass, you know, takes care of himself, and I'm sure, obviously, it's WWE. They're going to have all the best doctors and trainers and everything, best rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he can come back sooner than 9 months if all goes well for him.
Yeah. And, you know, not to sound like a little bit of an asshole, but when Seth came back, you got to think Seth is kind of a high flyer, so they really needed to make sure that knee was ready to go. With Big Cass, not as much impact on the knee.
Well, it's crazy, though, because that move where he got injured is a move he's done
1,000 times.
Yeah, in every match, he's probably, you know, I've seen him do it in every match I've seen him do in WWE. It's one of his, you know, like, standard moves. And he always makes it look really bad.
Right.
And it's just this one time, it's just a freak accident, and he lands on his knee wrong, and there it goes.
It was like the same thing happened with Seth. You know, Seth's done the sunset flip 1,000 times.
Yep.
But it's, you know, just one hair of an angle off, and bam, your knee's out.
Yep.
That's the risk with some of these moves and some of these competitors is, it's so much impact on the knees and the, you know, the tendons and the joints, and just one bad move and poof, you're out for 8 months.
Yep.
So yeah, big Cass, if he did indeed tear his, you said his ACL and his meniscus?
Yep, that's what the initial reports are.
It's looking to be about, they're saying a 9-month recovery time, but we all know WWE. They have the best doctors on hand, the best rehab.
Yeah, they'll come out and they'll say 6 to 8 months, 6 to 9 months probably.
Yeah, so we wish Big Cass the best of luck. It's going to be a rough road, but, you know, he'll be able to do it. So moving forward with SmackDown, we have Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Singh Brothers in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
In a 2-on-1 ass beating.
Yeah, it was announced as a 2-on-1 handicap match, but it was essentially a triple threat because both of the Singh Brothers were in the ring at the exact same time, and Shinsuke Nakamura absolutely murders the Singh Brothers. Oh, this match ended, like I said, in a triangle choke, immediate tap out, and then Jinder Mahal gets involved, and then he immediately hits Jinder Mahal with a Kinshasa.
That Kinshasa looked nasty, too.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. That's why I love Shinsuke, is his moves look real. They look like they actually hurt.
He looked like he kicked fucking Jinder Mahal's head clear off his shoulders. I was like, oh, I bet he's going to feel that tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure he kicked Jinder's head right into Queens. So, yeah, we move into the backstage segment. A nice little segment with Fabrizio, as I like to call them, Breezango.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where we find out, of course, that Baron Corbin will be the special guest referee. The Fashion Police come out to offer to officiate the match. And Owens and Breezango get into this this shouting match, which was absolutely hilarious. They're like, come on. Kevin's like, no, get out of here. And then Tyler, I think, said something like, to be continued. And Kevin's like, no, there's nothing to be continued. It's this great little back and forth with Kevin Owens and the Fashion Police. Like I said, as he's walking away, Baron Corbin stops him and says that he would be the referee as long as he's guaranteed a U.S. title match if Owens won. We'll get to that. So that's where we find out that Baron Corbin is the referee for the main event. We move into the women's tag match for the night. Natalya and Carmella versus Becky Lynch and Naomi. Now, at first, I was screaming at the television going, why are you pairing the women's champion and Miss Money in the Bank? Why? But then I find out why. Carmella was kind of a dick here. She's like, oh, well, I may not help you and let you get your ass kicked, and then I'll cash in on you.
Well, it was initially James Ellsworth, the Human Turtle.
Oh, right,
that,
yeah.
That said that, and we get classic JBL, every once in a while, he just throws out some zingers. And he's like, what did he say last night? James Ellsworth, he's as sharp as a bowling ball. And I about died when he said that. And then, they were talking about how basically James Ellsworth revealed Carmella's strategy for cashing in for that match. And he's like, yeah, James Ellsworth, if he was any smarter, he'd be stupid.
Yeah, JBL really offered some amazing one-liners in this match.
Yeah.
Every time they talk about James Ellsworth, JBL said, oh, he's just so smart, isn't he? So, it really was. So, like I said, Becky Lynch and Naomi defeat Natalya and Carmella. There was a point in this match where Natalya goes to go for the tag and Carmella jumps off the apron. Natalya had to defend her for herself for a while. Carmella returned with the briefcase in hand, seemingly thinking that Natalya was just going to get beaten to the ever-living hell and she would cash in. Natalya, while Carmella was distracted, got to the corner and she tagged in Carmella. And Carmella's like, oh, no, I'm not getting in. And Natalya's like, no, you have to get in. And then Becky Lynch hit the backsploder and then Naomi hit her split-legged moonsault, and that was it. 1, 2, 3. Thoughts?
yeah, sorry, I got distracted. I was just reading something. But yeah, don't know, that match I didn't really care for at all. I'm happy that Natalya is women's champion, though.
Me too.
I would be okay if Naomi got it back, but I would like to see Natalya have it for a while, because this is only like her second time, right?
I'm not sure. I think so.
I think it's only like her second championship. But yeah, it's she. I've always thought Natalya's deserved a lot better than what WWE has done for her. But I don't know. For some reason, this match just didn't hold my interest at all. I knew Carmella wasn't going to get the opportunity to cash in. I would have really been pissed if they would have actually had Carmella cash in and win. And that just would have been the fucking dagger in Natalya.
Yeah.
I hope they let her go with it for a little bit. And then, yeah, we'll just see what happens. You always got that, you know, that X factor with the Money in the Bank contract, so you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in keeping in the theme with the women's division, we had a backstage segment with Lana and Tamina. Lana seems to be embracing kind of a manager role again with Tamina. So what was going on is Lana was having Tamina visualize all the haters as her motivation. She said, the journey to the women's championship begins next week. The ravishing reign of terror begins, and it won't stop until you become champion. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of got that feeling, too, that Lana's kind of going back towards a more manager-type role. And, I don't know what's going on with Rusev. I heard a report that he is probably going to be asking for his release soon.
And rightfully, he should.
Especially after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It's crazy because Rusev, I thought Rusev was one of the first guys to get buried by John Cena and then eventually bring himself back up.
Yeah.
Like, Rusev was on this monster tear, beating everybody, and then just gets buried by John Cena, and slowly but surely worked his way back up to the Bulgarian Brute again, only to just get freaking buried alive at SummerSlam by Orton.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Like, Rusev has kind of been one of my favorite mid-carder heels in the business for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought he should have got pushed up more to, you know, the main spotlight. And it's just every time he starts to get up there, something comes and knocks him back down. I don't know if he's got backstage heat or what's going on with him, but if he does leave, it's just, to me, in my opinion, it's just going to be another classic case of WWE dropping the ball. You know, and they've done that so many times before with guys like Drew McIntyre, and obviously he came back, but guys like Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, and guys like Evan Bourne, that just, they really didn't use a whole lot. And, you know, some of these guys, Cody Rhodes, Evan Bourne, obviously those two are killing it out in the indie scene, you know, Ring of Honor and PWG, and some of these other smaller indie companies, but, I mean, Jesus. Poor Rusev.
Yeah, it, like I said, rightfully so, Rusev should ask for his release, because they just haven't, they haven't used Rusev as well as they should. So he really should make a tear on the indie scene. If he does indeed ask for his release. So, I want to move into the main event here. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship, as Baron Corbin as the special guest referee. There's a little bit of a controversy starting about midway through the match. Baron Corbin forcing a break on the calf crusher after Kevin Owens kind of like brushed his fingers on the bottom rope. Now, after Corbin forced Styles to break the hold, Styles took exception, and then Corbin pushed Styles into a roll-up by Kevin Owens, and...
That was after Kevin Owens, I think, kicked or shoved AJ Styles into Baron Corbin.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That's correct. And like I said, and then Corbin pushed Styles into a pair of fast counts, really. And that would lead, I almost said Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon to come down to the ring and just have an argument with Baron Corbin. Let's see here. After that happened, I'm trying to remember what happened that led...
Owens hit AJ with a low blow.
Oh, that's right. And then Corbin goes to count the pin. One, two, and then Shane pulls Baron Corbin out of the ring, and then Baron Corbin just gives up. He's like, "Oh, just take the referee chair. You do it." So we have Shane McMahon.
After Shane basically said it's not ending that way, and then Baron Corbin is like, "All right, screw it. Here, take my T-shirt," and just walked off.
Yeah. So. Shane McMahon would roll into the ring as the new referee, and while that's happening, Styles would grab Kevin Owens, snap him on the top rope, and hit the phenomenal forearm for the win. 1, 2, 3. So Kevin Owens again upset because another referee failure, I guess you could say. But this is a good way to not only to end AJ Styles Kevin Owens feud, because like Shane had mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you fail, this is it for you as long as AJ Styles is champion. So that's the end of the AJ Styles Owens feud. That definitely setting up the Owens McMahon feud now. Like we had stated earlier, like we had previously forecasted, this is it now. This is the start of it.
Yep.
Yeah, like I said, all around a very good show from SmackDown and Raw. It was a good set of weekly shows, and it really kept the viewer interested. And I really want to, see what happens next week. That's weird for me. Like, I always want to watch wrestling, you know, Raw and SmackDown, but it's rare that I actually am like excited for next week.
Well, then you know, it was one of those weekends where it was like NXT TakeOver on Saturday, SummerSlam on Sunday, Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday. Just four straight days of having to sit and watch wrestling, and you know, we're sitting here. What, NXT was 3 hours, SummerSlam was six.
Right.
That's 9 hours right there. Raw is three, so that's 12. That's 14 hours counting SmackDown. Yeah. Of watching wrestling in 4 days, and they did a really damn good job of keeping the entertainment. I thought SummerSlam was a good pay-per-view, NXT TakeOver was awesome, Raw was really good, SmackDown was really good, and now I you know, we kind of always talked about from the time period between WrestleMania and SummerSlam is when wrestling kind of gets dull, and then right up until SummerSlam, that's when stuff picks up, and then after SummerSlam, it's just like shooting out of a cannon, because a couple months after SummerSlam, you got Survivor Series, a couple months after that, you got the Rumble, and then we're back into WrestleMania season again, so it's just boom, 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 you know, you're going to have a couple pay-per-views in between, but now is where the ball starts rolling from SummerSlam to next year's WrestleMania. So things will start to pick up again.
Yes. So before we sign off here today, we normally don't cover it, but because it has implications with Brock Lesnar, we do want to make everybody aware that it was announced that his win against Daniel Cormier, John Bones Jones fails another in competition drug test. This is absolutely insane. The man was basically given a reprieve from the last one, was given the short discipline from his last one, and given the championship opportunity, and eventually won the title and the man fails another drug test. He's stripped of the championship that he won, and he lost the light heavyweight championship, and from what I've read, at this stage in the game, the punishment is like 4-year ban. It's like a 4-year ban from competition, from championship competition.
Yeah, and honestly, in my opinion, I think this should be John Jones' third strike, because he's already been arrested and busted with cocaine on him, which I believe led him to getting stripped of the title once. I believe he came back, won it, was stripped of it again because of a substance that's on their no tolerance list. Was suspended for a year after that, I believe. I'm not sure if the arrest came first or the drug test came first, but either way, he was suspended for a year after. Comes back now, we got all this hype about John Jones and Daniel Cormier. Beats the living hell out of Daniel Cormier, and then I think it was his post-fight drug test. They got the results back, and he tested for steroids. And yeah, they immediately stripped him of the title. It's back on Daniel Cormier, which I think that's bullshit. You know, you strip the champion, have a tournament, or have the two number one guys fight for it. Don't just throw it back on somebody.
Well, and it was announced today, actually. Get this. At UFC 218, before Jones's failed drug test, Dana White was all but ready to announce it was going to be John Bones Jones versus Stipe Miocic for the belt at 218.
Oh, yeah?
That was announced today. So the man just dicked himself. We don't feel sorry for him. This is a man that made his bed, and like you said, this should be his third strike. It really
sucks. And it sucks, too, because after beating Daniel Cormier, he called out Brock Lesnar, and, of course, Brock Lesnar's response was, like, I can't remember what his exact words were, but it was basically, like, anytime, you know?
Basically, bring it on, bitch.
Yeah, and, so everyone kind of thought that was going to be the next thing with Brock Lesnar. Ironically, they both have now failed their last fight drug test, you know, referring to Brock Lesnar failing his drug test against, was that Mark Hunt? In Brock Lesnar's last UFC fight.
Right,
now,
and he faced him.
John Jones just failed his. I don't know, I used to be a huge John Jones fan, and then, you know, he started getting all these drug charges and stuff like that, and I'll never understand how an athlete who makes millions of dollars a year has to go and, you know, do shit like this. It doesn't make sense, because, you know, I'm struggling. Everyone, we're all struggling here. Just, we would die for an opportunity to have something like that.
Right.
And these guys just piss it away. And it's so stupid, because the dude is such a natural athlete.
Right.
Great fighter. I mean, Jesus. Dude is pretty much untouchable. His best, him and Alexander Gustafsson, that was one of like the best fights I'd seen in a long time at that point. And this dude just throws it all away. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we're looking at, like you said, possible 4-year suspension. It's like, you don't even come back from that.
No, that's going to be the death blow if that's the case. For John Bones Jones. So yeah, like I said, that it has implications because of Brock Lesnar here. But yeah, it's just the man threw it away, and we just, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's stupid.
So, final thoughts on the last 14 hours of wrestling.
It was a hell of a 4 days of watching wrestling. Like I said, it was actually one of the best weekends I've enjoyed watching wrestling total in quite some time, so I was very, very happy with this week in wrestling.
Yeah, and I was too.
I wish I had whatever channel Lucha Underground is on, because tonight it's Rey Mysterio versus Johnny Mundo.
You don't have the El Rey Network?
I do not have the El Rey Network. Not on Charter. Well, it is, but I have to have to upgrade to like the gold package. It's like $40 extra a month.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love Lucha Underground, but I'm not paying $40 a month for it.
But not that much. Yeah. Yeah, so that should be a good match. We'll throw up the results on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ERNetwork247. My prediction for the evening is going to be Rey Mysterio will be Lucha Underground champion because Johnny Mundo has moved on to TNA, GFW, XYQ, whatever the hell they're calling themselves now. So yeah, I think Rey Mysterio is going to be the champion. That's going to be a great match. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, those two together, I would say, are probably going to tear the house down.
I agree. So that's going to do it for Smack Talk here on the Elite Ringside Network. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at AGENS81 and at Spencer Hart ERN. You can also follow us at ERNetwork247 on Twitter. So for everybody here at the Elite Ringside Network and for AJ Jensen, I am Spencer Hart. We will see you guys next week for Raw Review. Have a good one.
Peace out.